What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Here is your Cinco
de Five-0. Cinco de Five-0 with Evan and Tiki on
all
the
right,
Fan.
Cinco de Five-0 is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. As Tiki stares at the tookuses of offensive linemen, I'm going to give you the five most important New York baseball players down the stretch.
Mm. Here we go!
Number five.
Number five is Cody Bellinger. We talk about the King Aaron Judge. We talk about Stanton. I feel like the Yankees' second best player is Cody Bellinger. He's had a really good year. I think he is, in many Yankee fans' mind, their favorite player. Devin Williams hasn't, let me make sure I got this word right, acclimated himself, right? Mm-hmm. We're good, everybody?
Right.
To New York, where Cody Bellinger has. He just has that Yankee feel about him. That's very right. Important player down the stretch.
I think that's a huge one because he, first of all, he's consistent. He gives you positional versatility, throw him in the outfield, really any of those positions you want to put him out there. And then when you need Goldie to take a day, you throw him at first base as well if Ben Rice is catching. So I think it's he is a huge one.
There we go.
Number four.
Number four is Juan Soto. Juan Soto, who is having a, I would say, very good year. The one thing is that he has not hit with runners in scoring position. I believe Juan Soto in the last month and a half of the regular season and then into October will get a ton of big hits. Why? Because not only is he a generational talent and this great hitter, but he has been clutch throughout his career. You know, he's won a World Series, got the Yankees to a World Series, and he's got a ton of big hits. So I expect those big hits to come.
Right. And even if it takes a while and it doesn't actually fully happen this year, he's getting on base a ton. A ton. Three walks, even though he didn't get a hit yesterday. Three walks. So he's going to be on base, which makes things even more enticing for the guys behind him, like Pete Alonso.
Yeah, the base running's been good. The defense has been good. The only thing is he hasn't gotten the big hits. I expect them to come in bunches.
Number three.
Number three is David Bednar, who has now become the Weaver as well, the ace out of that bullpen. And the most important inning in a baseball game is the ninth or the eighth if the best hitters are coming up. And he has been tremendous. He had that little bit of a blip in the first game against the Marlins, but since then he has been awesome, and he is absolutely fully in the circle of trust of Yankee fans and Aaron Boone right now. So David Bednar is going to play a key role, Teague, down the stretch here for the Yankees.
Big one, because you know it's not just a ninth inning guy. If you need to have him get five outs, heck, you probably might even trust him to get six at this point. Absolutely. He will close for you. He is the closer now.
Number two.
It's Francisco Lindor, the National League Player of the Week. The Mets go as Francisco Lindor takes him. He has heated up here. The Mets have now won two in a row. Francisco Lindor, if the Mets are going to take that leap or play great down the stretch, it's going to be that we see this Lindor over the last week rather than the Lindor we saw for the couple of months where he was slumping.
Same thing happened last year. When they got on their run, it was Francisco Lindor.
All right, before we get to number one, you are listening to WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM-HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. Last but not
number
least.
Number one
on the five most important New York baseball players down the stretch, it's Edwin Diaz. And when I look at this
measure.
Yeah.
Not King Aaron?
No King Aaron. The thing about, the reason I left the King off the list is because I think it's almost too self-explanatory, if that makes sense. Like, the King is...
It's a given.
Yeah.
You don't even have to say it. It's a given.
If anything, the importance with him is his health and him staying healthy. If he's good to go, and forget even if he can get back to the outfield, although he certainly liked that to be the case, more of the given, staying healthy, and I felt like these guys, even though these are star players, Soto, Lindor, Diaz, etc., I didn't have him on the list because of that. And the reason I have Edwin number one is... When you look at some of the things the Mets have gone through, the one constant has been Edwin Diaz in the ninth inning and getting to Edwin in the ninth inning. And if the Mets are going to, we talked about Lindor as far as offensively, but pitching-wise and closing out these games in the big spots, ninth inning or an eighth inning if your best hitters are coming up, it's going to fall on the shoulders of Sugar, Edwin Diaz, to get the Mets to the promised land. And that's why he is number one on my Cinco. Kiss my fat ass! All right, it is Evan. We dusted that out. I try to, like, hide those things. You know, I feel like a parent sometimes because there are things that Evan... Now, I don't know if Evan gave that one to me or I just made it. There are things in our little tool chest over there that I despise. That Evan loves, it puts a smile on his face. And so I just like act like I can't find them when he wants me to play them. But when
I won't lead us.
That was negative, Tommy. When we have the nice young lads behind the glass today, they kind of have carte blanche. I don't set any rules. Like if they could find it, they could play it. You know, if Burgundy sees it on the prompter, he will read it. So they could just pretty much play whatever they want. We could react, we could not react. But there's just certain songs. I know Tiki likes that one, the Kiss My Fat Ass one. I'm just like, you know, because there's no end. There's just, you're kind of just sitting there. It's like this, you know, it's like, all right, here we go.
Kiss My Fat Ass!
That's the Sean drop of Rodon. And then we're like, we're sitting around. And so we're at like an awkward dinner date. Well, he likes baseball too, honey. Why don't you guys talk? And I'm just sitting here. I'm like, all right, what are we going to do? It's 5:06. We got to get our show back on track here. And I should remind you, this is Evan and Tiki with Tommy and Tiki. Sean on vacation, Evan on vacation. Movie. First one of the day. You got to give the people what they want.
I'm telling you, we've been waiting for it.
I know. I feel like that sometimes I overdo the movie, but I haven't done one all day today.
All right.
So I missed this on Friday because I was off celebrating my 40th birthday, which is until tomorrow, but I have a birthday month. It's my birthday. I'm turning 40. So if I want to celebrate it over the course of 30 plus days, that's my prerogative. That was you know, Saturday nights for the wives. I mean, Friday, I did the wife thing. I did the boys trip a couple weeks ago. Anyway, point is, I missed this, but I saw it on social media. And I can't say that I was surprised because I know Evan and I've known him forever.
Mm-hmm.
And his list of movies that he hasn't seen is appalling and abysmal. I was unaware of this, but, and if you missed it on Friday, Evan Roberts, at least as of Friday, has never seen the movie My Cousin Vinny.
Right.
Which makes sense because I have referenced when we talk about making bets offshore, or like I say, call your barber, you know what I mean? You know, not Tiki barber, your actual right. barber that takes bets and cuts your hair, or you go to the deli to make a bet. And I reference Vinny Bag of Donuts. And I see this look on Evan's face like he has no idea what I'm talking about, which is a reference to My Cousin Vinny.
Of course.
And I say, oh, yeah, we got to call my cousin in Jersey, Vinny Bag of Donuts. And Evan just goes, what? You know, he can give you Pokey Reese's OPS from 1997, but he's never seen one of the great movies of all time. Yeah, two Utes. Are you on drugs? And so
Pokey Reese from 97.
What's that?
Pokey Reese from 97. I like
I
the
assume
reference.
Pokey Reese was playing in 1997. I have no idea, but Evan can tell you this stuff. Same thing with Sean. He could tell you.
Right.
We could be like, Tiki, remember in week 7 when you ran for 400 yards against the Cowboys? Did I? I don't know. Did you? Where Sean could tell you what Felipe Sparks did on a third down when he broke up a pass in 2000 or whatever. I don't remember that, any of that stuff either. So that's just me. But with movies, I can reference it. My Cousin Vinny, one of the great movies of all time. And I just think there's so many, there's just certain movies when you live somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and you're in the Northeast, you should see My Cousin.
Right. And I know most of the movie took place in Alabama, but there's just certain types of movies that if you live in the Northeast and you do a radio show for the New York audience, you should know My Cousin Vinny because it might get referenced or you want to just talk about it. It's just like when you are learning to be on sports talk radio, and this is a good lesson, know your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Our audience, in large part, I believe, is big fans of Joe Pesci,
yeah.
Marissa Tomei, and Oscar winner, Jerry, Marissa Tomei. I've seen it a million times. I'll even watch it when they bleep out the curses. So we have a caller online, Teak. This is Rich from New Jersey that wants an update. All right? Now, Rich, what would you like to know?
Well, I was wondering, I was listening to the show on Friday, and I had to pull over.
I know.
I almost got sick to my stomach because he hasn't seen My Cousin Vinny. Who has not seen My Cousin Vinny? All right? Anyway, so
almost
I was wondering
accident.
If there was any update right. on
almost
whether he's seen it over the weekend. He promised.
Did he see it?
He promised to watch it. I don't know.
So he tweeted out that he did watch it. I believe he tweeted out Saturday morning, early Saturday morning.
Okay.
So he did watch it on Friday night then. And so,
yes,
no,
I will get the
Friday night because he was driving Friday. So maybe he got home, got to North Carolina at whatever and watched it before he went to bed because he was wired from driving.
at 3:20 a.m. Okay. August 16th.
Oh, my God.
He retweeted the WFAN Twitter account and said, just saw it. Very funny. I enjoyed it.
The prosecution is wrong.
So that means he watched it at 1 in the morning.
He watched it at 1 in the morning when he got there or in the car or half and half.
How do you watch it in the car?
Because he's a psychopath. I think we've established this. And I say that lovingly. I'm sure Dan will tell him, make fun of him.
Were you watching on like a little phone? Unless somebody else was driving. No, he was definitely driving.
He drove
the whole way.
Yeah, they stopped at a Cracker Barrel and he watched 10 minutes of My Cousin Vinny.
It's still stunning that we're talking about Joey Gallo on Friday and Sean references Joey Callow.
Joey Callow.
And everyone, me, Sean, and you know exactly what he's talking about. And Evan looks like a deer in the headlights, has no clue what Joey Callow is.
And it's not a matter of lack of time, because we know Evan will rewatch sporting events that he's seen before. So he's got plenty of time.
Right.
Why movies like he had never seen when he first started working with Craig, he had never seen The Godfather. He had never seen
The Godfather.
Nope. He never saw Usual Suspects. That was another big one. There was a third one, too, that was like glaring. Anyway, one of the early bits we did on the show was Evan has to watch these movies and then come back with a rating. And it was just... it was crazy.
So did he like them? Did he like The Usual Suspects?
He loved that one. I think The Godfather, he was mad on. There was definitely one movie that we thought he would have liked. Like he hasn't seen, I'm sure he hasn't seen Donnie Brasco or a lot of the mob movies.
Right.
And again, movies that you should
see. I'm
not
a man.
If you live in this area and you're doing a sports talk radio show, he doesn't like The Sopranos, which is just, I mean, you don't have to have The Sopranos in your top five.
Right.
But you have to have
at least seen it.
At least seen it.
You have to know what's going on.
Yeah. Now, speaking of what's going on here, our dear friend Salvatore Giuseppe Calogero Licata, famously, I think that's, I don't know what's his middle name, Tony? I have no idea. So, you get the idea. We do this thing with him where you ask him if the NL East is over. Now, Evan is the one that asks him. Even though Evan is off, we still stay true to the tradition. So, Sal Licata, after two wins from the Mets, is the NL East over?
Hey, Sal Licata, is the NL East over?
Hey, Sal, is the NL East over?
No, absolutely not. I still believe.
Let's go, Soto.
So that was the peanut gallery. There was BT in the background. Yeah. Let's go, Soto. So Sal still believes the Mets can win the NL East.
Right.
He has turned this into, Tiki, now where the Mets winning the NL East
means it's not over. So the whole time it's
over
not
means
been over.
That the Phillies have secured it.
Correct.
So
brilliant.
I mean, what are they, five and a half, five games back now?
Something like that. Five. They got seven coming up with the Mets. So
right.
As Aaron Boone would say, it's all right in front of them. It's all right. I haven't used that one yet as a positive Tommy tweet. I've been debating doing
it's
that.
It's five.
Five games. They're five games back of the Phillies.
Yes.
Correct.
And they play them in
seven
two more series.
Two more, I believe. Okay, this is, again, I look at the, I am very big on who are they playing now and maybe who they're playing next?
Yeah.
I don't memorize the schedule too far in advance.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard.
If it's more than a week, it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's just like, you know.
Right.
I mean.
I'll worry about it next week.
You know. I mean, it's just very low.
I worry about it next week.
I don't want to be mean. But how is that a useful thing? Even if we're sitting here and somebody goes, hey, Tommy, do the Mets play the Phillies in a week and a half? And I go, I don't know. What, are they going to remove me from the building? Tommy doesn't know the Mets schedule 4 weeks out in advance. He's not, he should be working here? Come on. It's a good thing to have. It's like...
But it also doesn't matter.
Right.
What matters is who they're playing tomorrow.
Right now.
Right.
And I think that it's always good to have somebody like that on hand that knows these type of things.
Right.
Like when you go on vacation, there's some, like I'm like this. I always have like gum. I always have like things that you could need in any
right.
situation when I'm on like a trip with my wife or with my bros. Yeah, a nail clipper. You need this. You need that. I got everything. So I'm the guy you go to for stuff. I'm like Morgan Freeman in Shawshank Redemption. If you need something, I got it. Evan is that guy in sports talk radio. And Sean, to a degree, too. Anytime it's this, that, and the other, do you remember this, or is it this in advance? They know it. And me and Tiki are sitting here going, I don't know. Are they even playing tonight?
Right.
I don't know. I'll check in 5 minutes.
Right.
We'll go over
it. Let me look it up. I'll find it for you. Don't worry.
Speaking of tonight.
There's a thing called the internet.
Yes.
You don't need to know. Just like you don't need to really know how to add and subtract, kids, because
right.
you will always have a calculator when you grow up. Always.
Exactly. I feel the same exact way.
Always.
I can't believe you're on the same side as me with this. Yeah, maybe you've heard my rant
Sorry,
about
moms
this.
And dads.
I
Do you help your children with math homework?
Huh? all the time. But I'm teaching my kids like how to think.
Right, it's problem solving. Yes.
Problem solving. So she hasn't learned, my oldest hasn't learned algebra yet. But a lot of the questions that she gets for because she's going to middle school, pre-middle school prep during the summer. I'm like, I don't know how you solve this without knowing algebra. So I taught her algebra. Now, when it gets to the point where she's got to do the math, I'm like, use the calculator. Who cares? It's like you figured out how to solve the problem. Let the calculator do the actual math. But it's figuring out how to solve the problem that's the most important thing. That is the most important thing about math, period. Because everything else in math, you can do on a calculator.
Fun right. math question for you. What are all the numbers on a calculator multiplied by each other?
Yeah, I knew this one was going to be fun.
What?
All the numbers on a calculator multiplied by each other.
What?
I don't even understand what you're asking.
What are all the numbers on a calculator multiplied by each other?
Multiplied by each other?
Yes.
So 1 times 2.
There you go.
Times 3 times 4. Would you like me to do it in my head?
Right, just take out your phone and figure it out.
I mean, I could, but
it's a trick question. The answer is 0 because anything multiplied by 0 is 0.
Okay, so when you're on your next Tinder date, I wouldn't use that as an opening
exactly.
joke. I really wouldn't. I, honestly, you've gotten to the point in your life where you could just name drop WFAN and you're probably good. Probably. I mean, I would just go that route, honestly.
I got some good laughs out of that one. I mean, I don't care. I got good laughs out of
half
that
of Evan's dating
not
history.
For here.
Half of Evan's dating history was, you know, you could Google me, right? And then that's how he got in the situation.
I'm a loser.
Exactly. Where were we? 888-808-1019. We've been teasing it throughout the show. Last night on Sunday Night Baseball, Mets, Mariners, the Williamsport game, Rob Manfred was a guest on the broadcast. And several topics came up, you know, expansion, realignment. Now, realignment is something that Evan has, has mentioned on the air before that is eventually going to get here, and that we are going to live in a world where the Subway Series is, you know, whatever, 18, 20 times a year because the Mets and Yankees are going to be in the same division.
Right. And by the way, the realignment makes sense because of the regional nature of baseball.
Right, the traveling.
There's so much travel.
It's crazy. Even think of Seattle last night.
Right.
They were playing the Mets, that's a New York team, in Pennsylvania. They're a Seattle team. Exactly. Does that make any sense? No. That's a lot and look, I joke oftenly that baseball players, they're either sitting, standing, or swinging a baseball bat. They're not like, you know, vigorous work, but still that travel for a baseball player, Tiki, is the hard part of being a baseball player. First class travel. Sure.
Accommodations that are top of the line make it a little bit easier, but if you can realign the sport so that you're not traveling more than, let's say, 3 hours as opposed to 6 to 7 or 8, it's a big deal. And so I can see why that makes a lot of sense. And then it makes the regions a lot more compelling and interesting than worrying about, oh, the Mets are playing the Mariners, and middle of the country or half the country is saying, okay, whatever, we don't care.
Right. And there's also just a natural rivalry when you're closer in proximity.
100%.
Right. Virginia Tech, Virginia. You see it all the time in college, like Phillies, Mets, Boston, New York. Like there, you know, when you get to like Miami, there is no rivalry with the Marlins and the Mets in terms of it being closer. But if the Red Sox were in the Mets division, that'd be crazy because we'd be going to Fenway. Mm-hmm. They'd be coming down here and you'd see more of that crossover. So Rob Manfred, who has gotten a lot of flack and criticism for some of the things that he's instituted in baseball, some great, some not so great. He was asked last night, among other things, about realignment. And here's what he had to say.
How about a window into the future?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Expansion, realignment, expanded playoffs. I mean, can you see that down the road?
I can. I think the first two topics are related in my mind. I think if we expand, it provides us with an opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel. And I think our postseason format would be even more appealing for, you know, entities like ESPN, because you'd be playing up out of the East, out of the West, in that 10 o'clock time slot where we, you know, sometimes get Boston, Anaheim,
yes,
would be two West Coast teams. And that 10 o'clock slot that's a problem for us sometimes becomes a real opportunity for our West Coast audience. So I think, you know, I think the owners realize that there's demand for Major League Baseball in a lot of great cities, and that we have an opportunity to do something good around that expansion process.
Yeah, something little he said there is it rings home. Mets are playing on the West Coast. I'm not staying up to watch it. Yankees are playing on the West Coast. I'll figure it out the next day.
It's brutal.
It's brutal.
Like the 10 or 10:30 start time, and they're playing the Sacramento A's, but right, the game is in Vegas, and it's just, it's not easy. And like for me, it's a little bit easier. I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. I could sleep in. But for the average Joe and Jill that have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's tough to watch a baseball game up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
I got to tell you, it almost feels like Rob Manfred is pining for what the NFL has.
Why not? Right?
2 weeks ago, we were talking about guaranteed contracts. We were talking about salary cap in Major League Baseball. And we all know that the NFL has a salary cap. And one of the reasons that the franchise's values collectively are rising so high is because they revenue share, and you only are spending a certain amount of that revenue. You're splitting it 50-50, 49-51 with the players. That doesn't happen in baseball. And as a result, like the average value of a Major League Baseball franchise is half, or even probably more than half, less than it is in the NFL. And now you're talking about regional divisions. NFL has the Northeast, South, and West, right? That kind of sounded like what he was talking about, right? You have an East, a West, a North, and a South, yep, division regionally, you know, in proximity. It just makes it easier for travel. It makes it easier for the networks to pit North versus South or East versus West. It just makes sense, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and Rob mentioned that, like you said, the travel, and I totally get that. He also mentioned about the TV partners, and mm-hmm, right now they're negotiating for a new deal. I think that's what it boils down to, is that they want, like you said, to be the NFL, to be this TV powerhouse. And what way to do that is you regionalize it a little more. You get the Mets and Yankees to play, mm-hmm, you know, 15, 20 times a year. And it's just better for the playoffs. And they can, like, you know, just everything he laid out in that clip, I think, is about growing the brand and making it more like the NFL.
Right. And then the Dodger fan doesn't have to care about the Mets and the Yankees right now.
Right. They just focus on the Padres, exactly, and the Mariners.
Exactly. They have to worry about them maybe when they get to the postseason. But that's about it. It allows you to play up things a little bit more. It allows you to game it a little bit more, gamify it a little bit more. But the challenge is now balance. And so how do you do that? You got to add two teams. That's why he was talking about expansion. Otherwise, it's an unequal number. It doesn't make sense to have 30. It doesn't work.
Right. They got to add more teams, whether that's in Nashville, Vegas, in theory, is getting, mm-hmm, the Athletics. Maybe they go back to Montreal. I'm just thinking of like action cities where, you know, am I going to go to Vegas to see a baseball game? No. That would be, I mean, maybe if it was like, hey, we could go see the Blue Man Group or a baseball game, I would go to the baseball game over the Blue Man Group, but otherwise there's 8 million things better to do in Vegas than go see a baseball game. But there are people out there that may plan a bachelor party or a trip to go see a baseball game in Vegas. So putting it in those cities certainly help. Bottom line is this. In 3 years, I think we're going to have realignment.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees and Mets and Yankees are going to be in the same division. And the rivalry, the big brother, little brother, is going to be ratcheted up. And for those that say, well, these teams don't compete, and Hal doesn't care about Steve Cohen, and blah, 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 all of that is going to go right out the window because it's going to be serious competition.
Right.
And
that's a good thing, too, by the way.
Oh, I'm here for it. I think it's going to, now, we're going to have to do a lot more remotes, which is, you know, is what it is. But the electricity and the baseball talk, especially when now every little thing the Yankees do affects the Mets, and vice versa. It's crazy.
Right. Think about the Phillies-Mets right now, how this is a rivalry that's an hour and a half drive, depending on where you are. If imagine that with the Mets and the Yankees as opposed to the Phillies and the Mets. Think of that intensity.
Right, and you already have the intensity of Juan Soto, mm-hmm, who's going to be on the Mets till he's, you know, whatever, 50 years old based on whatever math you have, and he's on a 15-year contract and he's going to be around for a while. I'm here for it. I think a couple years ago I wouldn't have been, because I was one to get rid of the Subway Series. I thought it kind of got old hat. It didn't have that same special feeling. It's different, though, when you are now a division rival. Like, that just changes the game. And it's not going to be perfect across the board, but I don't care about it across the board. I care more about it around here.
Right.
And for Phillies, Red Sox, Yankees, Mets is just a start. That is going to make baseball around here even more exciting than it already is, because it's going to take the Yankee-Met rivalry, and it's going to be now just front and center year in and year out. And I think it's coming in about 3 years. I'm going to say 3 years we will have realignment in Major League Baseball. You heard it from the commissioner. And the commissioner has done things outside the box. Rob Manfred is about growing the game mm-hmm. and thinking outside the box. And like I said, some of it has worked. Some of it maybe not has worked as much. And some, you know, right. at least we're not sitting there for 5 hours during a baseball game.
True.
Because they're running on second in the pitch clock.
Right. The pitch clock, people hate it, or at least in theory. But it's actually been a great thing.
Yep. Let's go to Max in Oceanside on Evan and Tiki. Max, what's up?
What's up, Max?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I'm just curious, if they do the realignment, is that going to get rid of interleague play? Because if it's not, then the Yankees and Mets playing the West Coast teams is still going to happen. So I don't understand what we're getting all worked up about.
Well, I think it's, I don't know if it'll get rid of necessarily interleague play. I don't know how I'm guessing it will, though, only because if they're going to try to limit the traveling. So they're not going to go out to the West Coast much, if at all. I think they're right. trying to keep these teams where their players are only traveling from New York to Miami to Philly to Boston, maybe to Chicago,
right.
where they're not going to Seattle at all.
Well, when he says the where on the players, he's talking about going on a West Coast trip and being gone for 2 weeks.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, think about that. Think about if you had to do that. Just to, hey, you know what? Tomorrow, Tommy, you're going to be on the road. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
And I would be doing my job. I wouldn't be on holiday like the Irish gals.
You're doing your job. It's it's a grind. And so it's tough on families. It's tough on the media. It's funny because we don't talk about it, but just having friends that are in the media world, like when they have to travel with baseball teams, it's brutal, man.
Mm.
It's brutal. And they don't have the amenities.
Living in hotels.
Right. They don't have the amenities that the players do. So, and again, that's neither here nor there, but I do think that this is an initiative that Rob Manfred is aggressively going after. You can feel it, just how he talks about it.
And it's for the best for baseball. You talked about there's not, and you know it, guys and gals out there, whenever the Yankees or the Mets start a long road trip, it's brutal. You dread it on the calendar because you're up late and it's just the juice of, like, it's midnight. And I hate, even like with the Knicks when they're on the West Coast in basketball, the games are quicker. Mm-hmm. I'm just not a big fan of it. And I can stay up late and sleep in, and I still hate it. I want the games to end around, you know, 10, 11, at midnight the latest. I don't want to be up till 3 in the morning watching a game. So to me, this is the best thing for baseball. It's on the way. It will be here in 3 years, in my opinion. And it's just, it's something that Rob Manfred is going to put in there to be more like the NFL. Loogie, Tiki Barber, Tommy Lugauer here with you. And Teak, we are, you know,
Loogie.
Okay, that's enough out of you over there. We are in the midst of the preseason right now. And the Bears, we talk about the Giants quarterback situation all the time. One of the hardest positions to play in all of the NFL because of the lack of good quarterbacks they've had through the years, and it's a tough town, is Chicago. And
right.
Caleb Williams certainly polarizing, and he's in a tough spot there. But he looked good last night in his debut in the preseason.
Yeah, he definitely did, and they destroyed the Buffalo Bills. Now, it was not the full complement of Buffalo Bills defenders out there, but 38-0 was the final score of that game, and Caleb Williams was 6-10 for 107 yards and a touchdown, which was a little nifty out of a bunch set route to Olamide Zaccheaus, formerly of the University of Virginia, for a 36-yard touchdown. So, I mean, he looks more comfortable in this offense that Ben Johnson has instituted this year. And, I mean, let's hope so, because when you draft a quarterback in the first round, you obviously expect a lot of good things to happen. But then when you fire the coach that same year that you drafted the quarterback, mostly bad things happen. So they're fighting against the odds to make this not be a disaster or a lost draft pick with Caleb Williams. But I think they have a good shot because of their head coaching and their Ben Johnson and their staff. Tyson Bagent, who was the backup, he looked good as well. So a lot can be said to the coaching staff. NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
We opened the show today. You could go back and listen on the Odyssey app. The rewind function is free, or download it wherever you download your podcasts about the Mets, their weekend, and really from my perspective. And I thought Friday night after that loss, and I tweeted it out, and it was received, I would say, mixed reaction, you know, certainly in the comments, which I read this morning when I was going through my morning routine. And I find a lot of them funny, and I get it. When people are frustrated and you try to bang the drum of positivity, they sort of lash out at you. But I was honest when what I said on Friday night was that the Mets have a lead in all these games.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a results-oriented business, but it tells me that 75% of their game is where it needs to be. The offense is where it needs to be. The starting pitching is getting where it needs to be. The bullpen, which I believe will be elite. Rogers is an elite arm. Helsley's an elite arm. Diaz, obviously, is an elite arm. 7, 8, 9, I don't think will be a problem
right
down the stretch here. So it was just a matter of time. That one moment, that one win that could get you started. Saturday, we saw it with the debut of Nolan McClain, and then it carried over into Sunday. Now you got two wins and momentum going into the series against the Nationals.
Right, and more, I think the most important thing, it's the same thing we've been talking about, Tommy, for the last 3 weeks. Starting pitching, you just got to start getting deeper. And five innings is great, but it would, you talk about a bullpen that could be rested, that could be truly counted upon, is don't make them get 12 outs every night. And it yeah feels like every night they're having to get 12 outs. So as good as Nolan McClain's 5 1/3 start was, at some point you want to get him up to six, maybe 6 6 2/3 or maybe 7 innings. Certainly with Kodai Senga, you hope that's the case. David Peterson has been doing it all year long. So there's hope and optimism, but there's still that little bit of a worry about the starting rotation. And if they get right, then who knows how good this team can be.
Yeah, and I still think it'll be a strength with Senga, Manaea, Peterson, Holmes, and right, I believe in this pitching lab, and Stearns and Hefner, which have come under a lot of scrutiny lately because of the lack of, you know, getting into the sixth inning.
Right.
But I still believe in what they're doing here and their
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Vision, so to speak. Let's go to Zach in Massapequa. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. I'm right with you, Tommy. I really do think that the Mets, we're going to use this as a little bounce board. You know, get hot. Let's beat the Nationals. I'm hoping for a sweep here. And then we obviously got to take down the Braves, too. Win 2 out of 3 there. And then we're really going. Then we have a bunch of games against Philly where we can just make up ground. And you know what? We're not out of the division. And right now we're in a good spot. I mean, not a good spot, obviously. We're in the third spot of the wild card. But, hey, we're in a playoff spot right now. Keep building. Keep going. I really feel like we're going to be all right. We're going to make the playoffs. Everyone needs to relax a little bit. We've been scoring runs every single game. Although we've lost a lot of games, we have been scoring runs. We really have been. Unfortunately, the pitching has been, you know, letting us down a little bit here. But it's starting to come around. When you inject a guy like Nolan McClain, it kind of inspires all of the other starters that are in this rotation, where it's like, hey, I don't want to lose my job. There's other young guys that are just like him that are on the way. An injection of youth is always good for a baseball team. So
right,
I'm feeling good.
Right, especially when that youth performs. It's one thing to bring youth up and, you know, have a shaky or whatever, ambiguous outing. But when it's as good as Nolan McClain's was, it just makes you feel good about where you're headed with some of these guys in the farm system.
Yeah, and Zach, he kind of like backtracked, and it was almost, and this is Zach is a guy that goes to a lot of Met games, positive guy, big fan of Positive Tommy, just ask him. he kind of has that sense, though, of a Met fan where you're like, well, we're in a good spot. Well, sort of good spot. No, the Mets are in it. If the season ended today, they would be playing in October. I'm sorry. I'm going to be 40 tomorrow. The Mets have been in the playoffs like what? Like 10 times in my lifetime. We can't be at this point in the fan base where we are now jaded and sort of used to just making the postseason. Do you want to win the division? Absolutely. But making the playoffs is the ultimate goal. And it's not like they've done it year in, year out in their history. They haven't. They've never been consistent at making October baseball. So I think they are in a good spot. Now, you're looking at it from the whole season and obviously the last, you know, 15, 16 games and their struggles. So it feels worse, but the reality is that they secure the final wild card spot right now. They have 7 games against the Phillies. They could still win the NL East. They are in a great position. They are. And until we get to a point where they made the playoffs year in, year out, you know, 10, 15 years, then we could say, well, only the final wild card spot? Like, we can't be that spoiled yet. They're still on the rise. There's still something special brewing in Queens, is what I would say. I know a lot of people have thrown that back at me, including my buddy Kendrick and Suffren. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Brian is in Middletown. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show.
Thanks. What's happening?
Not too much. Hey, I want to talk about realignment. How would they pick the World Series? Have they talked about that at all?
Not that I'm aware of. I notice a lot of people are calling us, and maybe the information's out there, asking us questions that you would ask Rob Manfred, like how they're going to do this, how they're going to do that. I don't know the full details of how they would pick the World Series, Teak. But
They probably haven't thought through it. But again, it might line up kind of like you do with the 4-team divisions. For like with the way the NFL is set up, so I think it's to be determined. There's so many ways to put mind power around this. It's something that I haven't done. I'm just thinking of the why Rob Manfred is wanting to do this. We know that the baseball is not a national sport, at least not all the time.
No.
And so they need to find a way to better monetize their product. And the only way to do that is to make it regionally very powerful. Otherwise, the value of these franchises are just going to sit. I mean, they're over $1 billion. I'm not saying these are small numbers. But relative to, say, the Cowboys, which are $12.8 billion in valuation, Giants are $10.5 billion. The average of the NFL is like 7. The average in Major League Baseball is 2. So, like, there's a lot to be done. You know, this is excluding the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Dodgers and the big organizations. Most of them aren't that big. And so how do you increase the wealth of all the owners? It's by collectively bargaining a TV deal. And you're only going to get that if you have some regional superiority, which right now they don't have.
This is the part where you say, hey, this is Tiki Barber, SNY.
Thank you, SNY. I didn't realize it was already 5:55 for joining us, as always. You could have just said, hey, bye, SNY. Thank you for joining us. Baseball Night in New York coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealer.
And the reason I don't do that is because
Tommy's staring at himself immediately the entire time you were saying that, Tiki.
I got to look at my
savoring the last few moments.
My pinkish hue, my youthful glow. I inside baseball, and the reason why Tiki took over saying that, I would hand this to Evan after every... Did I say something weird there?
No. Well,
I just kind of made
no, you're
direction.
Right. I'm just laughing because I know where you're going.
Yeah. I would hand Evan this... This is the life of a producer. Because I do think that there are some things that the host should just know as a host. Like, you got to learn how to do this. Like, it shouldn't be my job to, you know, wipe it took us. But one of the things is I would hand him this piece of paper, and he would either just forget or not do it properly. So finally... Plus, I was, you know, chopping down trees. I would print out this piece of paper for him every day. So Tiki ultimately took over doing it. And he's just so great at it. And I don't want to take that from him because I won't be as good at it. So even though there was an opportunity for me to jump in and do bye, SNY.
We're just
Tri-State
saying bye.
Cadillac.
Wait, you're just saying bye.
No, but you do it in such... Tiki, you would just have such a way.
Smooth way. It's very smooth.
The pearly whites, you know, the whole thing. Like,
yeah, well, I appreciate SNY. They think Eris all the time. And then when we travel, they usually come with us for the entire 4 hours. And because it's the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers, I just bought a Cadillac. So there you go.
Did you know?
Is that right?
Yes.
Mazel tov. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, it's my wife's car, but that's why I don't
really
drive
it. Did you throw some D's on it? Just bought a Cadillac. And we can't forget, Teak, the Cadillac Club.
The Cadillac.
Which is a
That's why I have a Cadillac, because of Jamie.
Really?
So, yeah. She just took care of us over there. I love the Cadillac Club.
Tremendous.
They serve me martinis. Where can you go drink a martini at a baseball game? Anywhere. And you just can't. You can't go sit, you know, behind home plate with a martini. It's just not cool.
Can you imagine
you can sit in the Cadillac Club.
Yeah, it fits the vibe.
Can you imagine an ump throwing out a manager and, like, something happens and a martini gets, like, thrown on somebody, like, behind home plate?
Yeah, you got, like, a Frank Sinatra song playing.
You savor a martini. You don't waste
it.
You could dump a beer on somebody. You're not dumping a martini.
I don't know if I've ever told Tiki this. I hate martinis.
Do you?
I don't like the... couple reasons.
What do you have? Vodka?
I don't even know. I've just had them a couple times in my life. Maybe somebody ordered it for me or whatever, like a round for the table. Not that you get rounds of martinis, but you know what I mean. Like someone's getting a martini, I'm like, I'll get that too. You know what I mean? Hmm. I'm not a big olive person.
It's not olives.
There's no olives in a martini?
Oh, you can if you want it somewhat dirty, but just get it clean with a twist.
So clean... We are talking about drinks here, fellas, for the audience, for the kids driving the car.
Do this next time you're at a classy place.
Okay.
Because it's not going to... If you did this at Joe's Sports Bar, he's going to look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
But so you go somewhere that's nice. You can tell that the bartender knows what the hell they're doing, that they've memorized every single cocktail.
They're wearing a bow tie.
Exactly.
They can do tricks.
Exactly.
And they tell you the origin of their drinks.
Ask for a Vesper.
A Vesper.
Vesper martini.
Vesper martini.
Right. It is delicious. It is crisp. It has a little lemon zest to it.
Mm.
And it's vodka and gin.
Wow.
Vesper.
I think I just told
a lie.
It's
the James Bond.
Oh, is that what he gets?
Not stirred.
Shaken, not stirred.
No. What are you talking about?
He doesn't know what he's talking
about. You said James Bond, shaken, not stirred.
No.
We haven't told Paulie this yet. He's fired. He doesn't actually work here anymore. We just allow him to come into the building. That's why you haven't
received
the paycheck.
Never shake a martini. What are you talking
about? Well, that's what James Bond says.
No, he doesn't. He says, does it look like I give a you know what?
No, he does the shaken, not stirred.
Daniel Craig, do you want it shaken or stirred? Does it look like I care?
Well, the other guy, Sean Connery, Pierce Brosnan.
Listen to me, Moneypenny. Let me get your
A Vesper has to be stirred. You can't shake it. Stir it.
I slightly told the fib there. A couple things. Number one, I just don't like the taste of martinis, but I do... like espresso martinis. Now, does that count?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm at least in the martini.
That's dessert.
It's dessert. It gives you energy. It tastes good. So I do like an espresso martini, but I know McMonagle loves martinis, and it is a cool look. Like, if you could rock, like, when Tiki was drinking the martini at the Cadillac Club, I'm like, it's kind of cool. Throw a fedora on, you're looking fedorable. I mean, it's a good look. But I just, the whether it's dirty, whether it's naked or whatever the other one was, I just don't like the taste of it. But an espresso martini, naked martini, isn't that what it was called? Is that what he said?
Clean.
Oh, clean.
Clean. Clean and dirty. It's the opposite of dirty.
I thought dirty, I thought naked. My mind was perhaps in the gutter and not where it needed to be.
Crisp.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.